You know, millions of Iraqis went to the polls this weekend in the first provincial election since the first provincial election since 2005. One major difference: the Sunnis sat out that last election, but this time they joined in at the polls. Presumably, it made a big difference. We're going to find out. We're going to talk to Anthony Shadid. He is the Middle East correspondent for the Washington Post, and he joins us now from Baghdad. Thanks for joining us, Anthony. Well, let's go right away. The fact that the Sunnis did sit in for this election, that they actually voted, what kind of difference are we seeing?
Yeah, I think it's going to make a dramatic difference, particularly in the predominantly Sunni areas that are north of Baghdad and west of Baghdad. I think what we're going to end up in some ways with is a more fractured landscape in some respects. But like you pointed out, in 2005, most Sunnis boycotted. That left power in the hands of one religious party that was Sunni, but that a lot of people feel didn't represent the community all that well. I think this time we're going to see ex-Ba'athists, we're going to see tribal forces. We're going to see a much more diverse landscape in some respects.
Now, talk about who was running in these elections.
Well, you can look at the elections from a lot of different perspectives. Like you pointed out, it's a provincial election. So in some ways, there was a different election in almost every region of the country. In the South, Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki, once an unpopular figure, but now someone who has gained a lot of support for, you know, rightly or wrongly being credited with restoring some order in Iraq. He was running against another religious party in southern Iraq, and it seems that just from early results right now, he seems to have done quite well. Bolstering his own stature and bolstering the stature of his party. This is going to be important as we look toward parliamentary elections toward the end of the year. In other regions of the country, we saw secular parties going against religious parties. Secular parties seem to have done well, again, in these initial results. And I think this is a sign of disenchantment and some frustration with the administration of these provincial councils the past 4 years. A lot of people, you hear often in the streets, people denouncing or criticizing religious parties for their lack of performance. Again, all this stuff is very tentative and still early. We're probably not going to know final results till the end of the month.
Anthony, you mentioned it. The elections were a test of many things, and including would be a test of security. Now, the Iraqi security forces handled much of the setup for nearly 8 million people who apparently went to the polls. How do you think they did, considering there was little reported violence?
You know, even the campaign itself, I don't want to minimize what happened during the campaign. 5 candidates were assassinated. There were bombings here. But I think even during the campaign itself, violence was not anywhere near a factor as it was in 2005. And you're exactly right. What we saw in the streets of Baghdad and other Iraqi cities was a huge security clampdown. Traffic was banned from streets. There was a curfew the night before. And, you know, from what we can see at this point, it was almost entirely successful. There was hardly any violence on election day. I think what's going to be important as we look forward, especially for the Obama administration, is that this is going to be seen as a sign that maybe security forces are able to stand on their own a little more. That's going to be a debate, and I think people are going to use this maybe in ways, rightly and wrongly, to promote or to push for a U.S. withdrawal. I think this is going to be a turning point in some ways, though. I think this is going to be a sign that security in the eyes of some people in the administration is good enough for the Americans to begin withdrawing in substantial numbers.
Do you think it's also a sign that perhaps Iraqis are accepting political means as a way of dealing with differences, or is that going too far?
You know, that's a great question. I think that's another, again, when we talk about what this election is going to be remembered for, I think that's going to be one of the issues that people look at. It's in some provinces, it's not all that important. But if you look at provinces like Diyala, which is a mixed Sunni-Shiite province north of Baghdad, or Nineveh province, which, again, is in northern Iraq, and you've got a Kurdish-Arab fault line, you know, if Kurds in Nineveh, for instance, can surrender power to Arabs through elections, if Shiites in Diyala can surrender power to Sunnis through elections, I think we're going to see that the simple act of voting has become a means to transfer power, and that's something remarkable, and it may become institutionalized. That's easier said than done.
Right.
And I think that we're going to have to, you know, people are going to look very closely in the next few weeks of how much violence happens in those provinces that are quite violent still, how many protests about the results, how much fighting between parties and factions. I think it's going to be a real test of whether elections are becoming institutionalized here in some respects, and institutionalized as a means of transferring power from community to community.
Well, talk about turnout then. 51% across the country, and even less in Baghdad. I think it was something like 40%. What does that say about how institutionalized this is getting?
I have to say I was surprised by those numbers, and I think, you know, we're slowly polling that turnout might be even bigger than in 2005, and indeed it probably should have been because Sunni Arabs were participating in far greater numbers than they did 4 years ago. But I think you're right to point out that lower turnout in Baghdad, surprisingly in Anbar, which is a predominantly Sunni province, it was low, and in the south, in the predominantly Shiite south, it was lower than we saw in 2005. And I think this can be read a lot of ways. One, the security clampdown may have made it difficult for people to get to the polls. There have been complaints that people couldn't find their polling station. They didn't know where to cast their ballot. But I think it also probably suggests there's a pretty substantial current of discontent and frustration and disenchantment with the way politics have gone for the past 4 years. You hear this all the time when you're talking to people, you know, around the country, that these provincial councils delivered us nothing. And I think just the simple act of not voting was in some ways a protest of how administration has happened the past 4 years. And it may also measure a certain loss of faith in the entire process, the entire election process
itself. All right.
Itself.
Anthony Shadid, we're going to have to let you go. Thanks for joining us. That's Anthony.
My pleasure.
Okay, Anthony Shadid, Middle East correspondent for The Washington Post.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.